Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. I'm your host, Rosaki Mascani, and on the panel this evening, we have Ernest McBride, Jr. We have Brother Mishin, we've got Professor Amin Ra. Our guest for this evening is Brother Kwabena. Brother Kwabena is basically a team member. He's here quite often, and he always brings us excellent information. I know he's affiliated with CMOTAP and also Clear the Airwaves Project. So he's going to tell us about those things. And our topic for this evening is, where are we going? So Brother Kwabena, I appreciate you coming out like you do. Welcome, and we can get started.
Right on, brothers. Good to be here this evening with you all. So the title of this presentation, Where Are We Going, comes from a title of a Donald Byrd song that came out back in like 73. And I would listen to it periodically. Oh, that's a cool song. Then one day I got this CD, Marvin Gaye CD, with like some of his greatest hits. And this song was on there. I played that song. I was like, what is this? This is a Donald Byrd song. When did he do this? And then just been loving it ever since. And we were doing Black Music Month, which occurs every June since 1979. And we have a Facebook page where we always have a theme for Black Music Month. And this year's theme was music to motivate the masses. And so we were sharing a song every day that motivate the masses. Harvest for the World, you know, Stand from Sly, because Sly started transition early in the month, so we shared that one. Just a whole bunch of just righteous cuts that make you think, you know. And so the last day we said, okay, we're gonna throw this Marvin song in here with him and Donald Byrd, Where Are We Going? And I wish we could play a little bit snippet of it. We may be able to play a snippet of it, but we know what it is concerning that. But it's just such a great song. You know, Marvin's a bad brother. I got him at number two. I got him right after Stevie. He said, what's the future showing? And I mean, that's so I started thinking about that with our conditions, what's happening today, positive and negatives. So let's talk about that, see what your brothers think about that.
Brother Kwabena, before you get started with the presentation, can you please tell us about CMOTAP and Clear the Airwaves Project real briefly, please?
Okay, yeah, no problem. Clear the Airwaves Project, and we will, as part of this presentation too, the work we do. It's just a movement dedicated to getting off these radio stations music that demeans and degrades and calls for the shooting and killing of Black people. That's the Clear the Airwaves Project. CMOTAP, along the same lines, is the Committee to Eliminate Media Offensive to African People. They're based in New York and got branches in Ohio and also in Los Angeles. And lately with CMOTAP, we've been working on this campaign to deal with Netflix and the reboot of the animated minstrel reboot of Good Times, which came out 51 years ago with, you know, with JJ and Thelma and Michael as the children and James Evans and as the parents. Just an iconic sitcom, but had a lot of good messages in it. It had some buffoonery in it with JJ, but just really a good sitcom. And they made a remake of it, and it's embarrassing, it's dangerous. There's 2-year-old babies slinging drugs, having shootouts with rappers, just a father hitting his child with a whip in their kitchen, in their house, roaches and rats everywhere, running the household like their pets. What else? They got a 12-year-old girl having her first cycle, and they're showing her using the blood from her menses to write on the chalkboard in school to do classwork. She takes the blood and throws it on a 12-year-old, her classmate, a Black boy classmate, throws blood in his face. This is on a cartoon that is produced by the late Norman Lear, Seth MacFarlane, the no good Seth MacFarlane, who did the Family Guy and other cartoons, Family Guy, where he had the depiction of our untouchable Harriet Tubman, depicted with a white woman draped all around her naked, talking about she's a lesbian. And also, believe it or not, Stephen Curry, the basketball player, the greatest shooter of all time, missed a mark on this.
And so, yeah, so as a real quick update on that campaign that CIMOTAP and others are waging, it's a whole conglomerate of Africans and organizations who are fighting against this. They did not do a second season. It came out in April 2024. So in 2025, they were supposed to schedule to do a second season, but it never happened. At several points during the year, we checked it out. It was a 10-to-1 ratio of people who gave it a thumbs down on their reviews from the trailer as compared to a thumbs up. So like the last time we checked, when we checked late last summer, it was 8,000 people who said, yeah, they like it. Or 8,100 people gave it a thumbs up, but 81,000 gave it a thumbs down. And this is how crazy they are too. So we've been combating into people, nobody likes it. People have been dogging it out. We've been going to NBA games to put pressure on the NBA, put pressure on Adam Silver, to put pressure on the Warriors and Stephen Curry to remove this, to apologize, to make amends, all of that. So we look up in January and it still had 8,100 thumbs up, but it has 64,000 thumbs down. So it lets you know how these media outlets manipulate the numbers. Like that's gonna make too much of a difference, but it went from 81,000 thumbs down to 64,000 thumbs down. That don't work. And I thought I was tripping when I first saw it, but then unfortunately I looked through my computer and I screenshotted when it was 81,000 thumbs down. So we have it, we've shown it, we depicted it, how crazy they are. So working with CIMOTAP, committed to eliminate that media that's offensive to us because it's so dangerous. And again, this campaign, we're not playing, there's letters about to go out to the NBA, also to Netflix. There's more demonstrations that are scheduled because even though they did not renew it, they also haven't taken it off. I just asked a friend of mine recently who still has Netflix. We asked people to get rid of your Netflix. He still has it. He said, yes, it's still available. And so we've been at Golden State Warriors games in Los Angeles, in Chicago, and in New York numerous times protesting against this madness and demanding that they take it off the air.
Nah. Bad time.
Okay, you got some footage of us demonstrating somewhere. Where's that at? Okay. Yeah, all right, that's in Chicago.
Nah, Crypto Arena.
That's a crypto, okay, that's in LA.
Yeah.
Yeah, right on, you were out there with us. And so again, headed back to Netflix headquarters very soon. One of their offices, either New York and LA or both. Very soon, they got to get this off. They wouldn't be on the air for any other group of people. And we're demanding that they take it off. They're trying to be silent on it. So CIMOTAP, Clear the Airways Project, also work with Black Lives Matter, grassroots, work with the National Black Leadership Alliance with Bob Law and others, and also the Nubian Leadership Circle, where we also have an Elevated Arts and Culture Collective, which is a collective of brothers and sisters of artists, of creatives, who pledge to create content that will uplift the African masses. And you can't even be a part of that collective if you like wishy-washy. So part of the collective is that if you get caught or if you figure you want to start doing that ratchet crap, just leave the collective because you can't stand. You can't serve two masters. You can't. What was that? Even like my brother Quasi used to say, you can't sponsor us and kill us at the same time. So yeah, that's just some of the organizations we work with, and it's a lot. It's a lot. We also work with a group called GARD, which is Gary, Indiana. Gary Advocates for Responsible Development, which is dealing with all this pollution that's taking place out here and all this, oh man, it's just so much. But so I was talking to the sisters, comrade of mine out here in Gary, and was telling her about this presentation that we were doing. And she said, this is something she used to tell her children. I said, okay, I'm gonna use this tonight. She said, if you don't know the directions on the next slide too, if you can move that over. She said, if you don't know the direction that you're going, you might end up in the direction that you're headed. That's Sister Toni Washington Simpson shared that. And that's why I think it's important that we talk about this, that we inform the people on what's happening, and that they know, but just kind of like, well, how does that affect us? And therefore, how are we going to change that direction if we had to? Or how are we going to put more momentum to keep that direction moving forward? So what's happening with us right now? This is 2025. We're a quarter of a year into the century, quarter of a year already. This time ain't no joke. It's moving, it's flowing, and what's happening? So we got to gain control. This ain't gonna be too long in the presentation, but we're gonna talk about gaining control of our culture. I put it first, getting back control of our culture. We had some semblance of better control than we got right now. The current state of Black music, This album release shooting that took place in Chicago, I do want to touch on that, and along with other things that are kind of pertaining to that. And this Durham mayor, Durham, North Carolina, my brother, Minister Paul Scott, shared some information that he shared yesterday. These numbers, these mayor's numbers for our sisters and our people in the U.S. And oh yeah, we are Africans. Real quick piece on Essence Magazine and the Essence Festival that just took place. There's a lot of talk about that. Oh, the Sahel states, and when I'm having it there too, I'm going to say a little something about this environment, this ecology. You know, think about Marvin again, Mercy, Mercy Me, from 50 some years ago. Oh man. And I don't think it's gonna stop us now. I think this is I'm optimistic about what's gonna take place. But let's talk about getting control of this culture. In Chicago, iHeart owns 7 radio stations. They own the licenses for 7 radio stations. You can't own the radio station. Radio stations are supposedly owned by the government and people. They can just own the license and keep them for a certain amount of time. And of those 7 radio stations, 2 of them are targeted towards young folks. One is called Kiss FM, one is called WGCI. And again, these are the same company, iHeart, used to be called Clear Channel. We call them No Heart. The reason why we call them No Heart is because on the station that they have, Kiss, that targets young Europeans, every time they get one sexual reference, we get 25 on WGCI, which is a station that targets young Africans. This was from a study done several years ago by Do Better Now. So a 25-to-1 ratio of sexual references on the station for the youth on the black children as compared to the station for the youth for the white children. 27 times we get sexual references. When it comes to violence, it's even worse. Every time they get one violent reference, we get 50. A 50-to-1 ratio of violence on the radio station that targets black people as compared to when it targets white people by the same company, iHeartMedia. And they have at least 27, I heard 28 before, now I'm hearing 27 killer radio stations around the country broadcasting in modern day Babylon, in cities like New York, Frisco, Boston, New Orleans, Memphis. We got a couple of them there, Norfolk with an R, Columbus, Norfolk twice. I must have 2 stations there. I stopped with it twice. Philadelphia, Jackson, I mean, just all around the country, constantly telling black folks, African people, that you should kill each other in your music, that your N's, your B's, and all that. So Mellow Bucks, last Wednesday night, a week ago tonight, I know we were talking a week ago tonight. So on that Thursday morning, I awakened, and we awakened to an album release party that took place in Chicago where 18 people were hit. 18 people got shot. At the time, right away, 4 of them succumbed, and then later a 5th one died. And this is following up from the weekend before. I was in Louisiana for a family reunion, and some relatives of mine were at a graduation party. Well, 4 or 5 people got shot at a graduation party. This is where we're at. This is what we're trying to say now. This word now, where are we going? Now, if you can share that, click that link to that video. I want us to watch a few minutes of it. This is Mellow Bucks. I had never heard of her. I have been for a while monitoring this crap, but not as much as I used to. Yeah, so if you can check that link, if we can stomach it just for a second, I really want us to see what this is about. And I want to let you know before we watch it, close your eyes before you watch it, or close your ears. And then I'm telling you, this is so pervasive. This is like what they've made the norm for African people in this country right now. This is the type of stuff. Are you going to be able to bring it up?
I wasn't able to pull it up.
Okay. If you get a chance, huh?
Are you able to? I have shared screen rights.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, if you're able to pull it up.
Let me see. Oh, I'd have to pull it up on my phone because I was on the my desktop. I got off my desktop. If I can share it on my oh. you know, we won't worry about it, because again, it was going to be kind of tough for us to watch. But I ask you all to please, if you can, check out the video for Mellow Bucks. It's called Boom. Boom is the name of the video. But she has so many other videos, and they're all the same: twerking, gunplay, killing, gang, just horrific music, what they call drill music. And this is Mellow Bucks, by the way, is a sister. And by the way, most of the people shot that night were sisters. And in this song here in particular, she's bragging about shooting your grandmama and then maybe your mama. And just brags about shooting women. And so this is what it is. Now the next video I have on there, I was gonna share. This is something else I think you all may want to check out. This is the video of one of the survivors who did an interview. She spoke out and could barely speak. I don't know how she spoke out, because she got shot. No, I think she got shot. She got shot in the neck and got shot in the face, and it came out, knocked her teeth out. And so they got her in the hospital speaking, talking about how bad she looks and how she wouldn't wish this on anyone, and turned the radio on. Turned the radio on a couple years ago while we were doing this Clear the Airways project work, and heard two songs in a row that talked about shooting you in the face. NBA Youngboy was one of them. Have y'all heard of NBA Youngboy?
Not me.
NBA Youngboy means never broke again. He's one of the most popular rappers out there. Young cat out of Louisiana. NBA Never Broke Again, Youngboy. And two songs in a row on that GCI station I was talking about from No Heart, playing them on the radio just for that targets young blacks. Again, that's one of the 50 that we hear. So most likely on their white owned station, they won't be hearing it, because they only get one as we get 50. They only get one violent rep as we get 50. So, dang, I wish I could share this. That's all right. So there's also something else I want you all to check out. So we've been doing surveys, and we've talked about this before. It's called the State of Black Music. Oh, I'm sorry, not the state of Black music, the sad state of Black music. Check out, if you can look that up while I'm talking too, brother, that would be good, because there's plenty of those, and they're pretty similar. It's called the Sad State of Black Music. And we asked three questions. Give me the percentage of music that you and your peers listen to that dropped the N-bomb on us. The percentage that refers to our sisters, our mamas, our daughters, our wives, our girlfriends, our aunties, our grandmamas, as B's and H's. Then we say, give us a percentage of music that you and your peers listen to that brags about and encourages African people to shoot and kill each other. And the answers are pretty much all the time in the 80s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. As a matter of fact, out here in Gary, I was at the home of the Jacksons yesterday, you know, chopping it up with some people from the community. And this one brother was talking about his daughter not going to school here in Gary. And I'm going to keep this real. We're not good. Okay, there we go. But yeah, just we can show one of those. Well, he was talking about his daughter and why she doesn't go to school here. And then she was talking about her comrades and her friends. And I let him. He let me ask his daughter the survey questions. Go ahead and show him what it is, and I'll tell you what his daughter said after this.
Make sure I have the sound.
Okay, yeah, you had it. Okay, so I can just tell you what his daughter said, though, then now. But she was saying that most of her peers are white. She goes to a neighboring school in a neighboring city, because Gary's like 90% African. And so a lot of our people, their children don't go to school in the Gary school system. A lot of people who are doing pretty well, even a lot of our administrators in government, a lot of their children don't go to school here. And unfortunately, at our schools and at our only high school that we have now, it's funny too, because in 1972, going back to 72, when we did the national convention, the Black National Convention in Gary, Indiana, one of the things that it's famous for, we did a 2022 50-year anniversary recognition of that. And in 72, we looked, I think we had like eight high schools in 72, eight high schools. Now we got one high school. there's a couple of charter schools, but one public high school. We're down to one. And I know the administrators there, some righteous brothers, some good brothers, some strong brothers, they fight all the time. When I was teaching there, they fight all the time. And I asked the brother who was at Roosevelt High School, which is the high school famous that the Jacksons made famous, you know, going back to Indiana and famous for a lot of things, but is now abandoned. And we were in there cleaning it up. And one of the young brothers was in there. I thought he was out of school. He said, no, I'm still in high school. And he shared that, you know, the fights, he just can't deal with all the fighting. But I asked him, was it like it was when I was teaching there? Because I used to teach there. So when I taught there, every time the guys had one fight, the girls had five. He said, same thing. So girls are doing most of the fight. Same thing. So, are we able to get it going?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
All right, we rolling. I met these sisters, these young sisters, all college students out here in New York in the Queens.
Bronx.
Oh, y'all from the Bronx.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, Bronx, and we're in Queens right now, and I asked the survey questions. I'm gonna ask it again. We've already asked before, but again, what percentage of music that you and your peers listen to that drop N-bombs on us?
I would say about 82%, 85%, definitely around like 85%.
What percentage of music you and your peers listen to refer to our sisters, our mamas, our daughters, our grandmamas, our wives as B's and H's?
Around 80%, 95%.
I would say like 78%.
What percentage of music you and your peers listen to brags about and encourages us to shoot and kill each other?
I would say about all of them.
85%, around 82%.
Don't y'all think there's something wrong with that?
Yes, something is really wrong with that.
So, it's wrong. Don't feed your mind with those things, you know.
They shouldn't be influencing us, especially black individuals, to harm each other. Like, we should be working together, you feel me?
For real, because you are what you listen to, you are what you see, you are what you hear. So all of this, you know, it kind of impacts you in a way, you know? So.
Music is culture. It plays a role. It plays a role. We've been asked this question all around the country, starting this summer, and getting pretty much the same answers from Portland to Orlando to San Diego to New York. 80-90% on all three
That's
questions.
Crazy.
It's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
It's a nationwide
attack.
Something
needs to be changed. Yeah. Something needs to be changed. Something needs to be done.
All right, we appreciate you, sisters. I'm glad y'all going to check out the Clear the Airways Project and work with us to got to make some
check
changes.
Check it out, y'all.
All check right. it out. Yeah, check it out, man. Definitely a positive movement that everybody should be on. And we're here in New York, and he's from Chicago. Super, super dope person. Mm-hmm. You know, so let's get to it. Let's make a change.
Make a change.
And it starts with us.
Right on, y'all. One love.
Them sisters are so New York, ain't they?
That was nice.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, everywhere we go, we get a chance, we ask those questions, and it's always those numbers are always the same. So they're doing this, just like you said, with that No Heart station, that European-owned station. Bob Pitt is the CEO of that station. We say that the shooting of those 18 people with five dying, 40, almost 50 people got shot this 4th of July weekend in Chicago. We say they're responsible for the majority of those killings. If one of us does a killing out here, does the murder, and I'm the one to tell y'all to do the murder or pay you to do the murder or encourage you to do the murder, I got to get checked too, right? Don't I have to go to jail? Don't I get prosecuted also? So they should prosecute them. And so check out the Sad State of Black Music Survey. There's a bunch of them. We put them up together. So there's new leadership here. We talked about the 72 convention a little bit, but we have a new pretty progressive young mayor here in Gary. I remember I was talking to this brother from Detroit last week, and we were talking about the mayor of Detroit that got in that trouble a little while ago. His mama was a congresswoman. Oh man, what's my brother's name? But he's out now. I think Trump pardoned him, so he's out now. But I remember seeing him in the airport.
Kwame Kilpatrick,
right on. Yeah. I remember seeing Kwame in the airport flying from Detroit back to Chicago. And I recognized him as we got on the plane. Oh, what's up, brother? So we hollered. Then as we were walking, I caught up with him walking through the terminal in Midway. And I said, bro, you by yourself? What's up? He said, man, I'm so glad to be by myself. He was going to a wedding or something, but he was cool by himself. I gave him a couple of conscious hip hop CDs I had back then. So, you know, younger cats becoming mayors. So my brother Paul Scott, who's a righteous brother out of Durham, North Carolina, he shared last night that the mayor of Durham called, was talking about the issues in Durham and guns. They called us YNs, called our people YNs. Do y'all know what a YN is? YN is a young N-I-G-G-E-R. And so here we have a mayor saying that. And it's like, come on, no. And so I, matter of fact, when I was talking about chopping up with his brother and his, he shared information and talked to his daughter, the other cat was out there. He said the same thing, YN, dude, no. You can't soften and try to legitimize calling yourself and our people N-I-G-G-E-Rs, you know, by making an acronym for it or an abbreviation for it, YN. There's a rapper, I talked about the sister getting shot in the mouth and getting her teeth shot out who survived the shooting in Chicago. And I mentioned the two songs in a row played on the radio. And there was another song played on the radio where the rapper said, chopper decapitate you, blow his face off. That was in hot rotation. By hot rotation, we mean 20 times a day. That's constantly on the air. Chopper decapitate him, blow his face off. And that was by the Migos and YFN Lucci. So this song was out in about 17, I think, somewhere around 16, 17, maybe 18, 2018. And I said, what does YFN Lucci mean? And that was Young Fly in Lucci. So these rappers, where does this come from? It comes from rap. And so now we got mayors of major cities calling us people in. So our Minister Scott is going, we're going to check him on that. That, no, unacceptable. Simo Tap will say that's unacceptable. We can't be doing that to each other. So this rap music, bro. And Dr. Frances Cress Wells, when she said the rap music has annihilated the self-respect of Black people, annihilated. She was for real. So where are we going? 25 more years of this. We talked about this in the first quarter of the century. We can't take 25 more years of this music like it is right now. Can't do it. I remember listening to a rap from Kwame Ture at the time. He was still Stokely Carmichael. Was he prime minister? He was prime minister, and Rap Brown had another title for the Black Panther Party at that time. And they were speaking at the sports arena or up in Oakland at a Free Huey rally. And Kwame talked about the genocide that they did to the native people. And he said don't think they ain't capable of doing it. And we know that we're seeing it right now in real time and what's happening in Palestine. And it's happened since then in Rwanda, it's happened since then in Bosnia. Matter of fact, I had a chance to listen to Professor Roth on with Carl Nelson. And he talked about the population control that they're doing, and they're doing it with this music. And they're doing it with the content of the music. And the second question we ask is the percentage of music that referred our women folk as B's and H's. Now sisters get it, we all get called N's, they get called B's and H's too. They get told that we should kill their sons and, you know, their potential men. They get disrespected as such, that they're only sex objects and they should degrade and demean themselves. And so now our marriage numbers for African people in the US, at the turn of the century, we heard it was around 30-something% of Black women in their 30s had never been married 25 years ago. 30-some percent had never been married. I didn't believe it when I first heard it. But I started thinking about it and looking at sisters in my age group. That was my age group around that time. I'm like, wow. Well, Dana's not married. Such and such not. Wow. Hey, that may be right. It's my own unscientific piece. So here we are 25 years later. And we're up to 49-50% of Black women of all age ranges have never been married. Never been married. And so we ask the question, who gonna marry her? We gotta get back control of our culture. We gotta get back control of it, because why would you marry someone in all of the way they're portrayed all the time is nothing but sex or disrespecting themselves or like the sister Mellow Bucks. What are you talking about shooting people too? It's just, I mean, so you gotta change it. Or listen to songs all the time where them H's ain't loyal. Ain't nothing to cut that B off. Now these are titles of songs. There's nothing to cut that B off, and H's ain't loyal. There's a song I call My In. There's a song called I'm a dog, I'm a dog, I'm a dog, I'm a dog, I'm a treat her like a dog, feed her like a dog, beat her like a dog, and pass her to my dogs. I'm a dog, I'm a dog, I'm a dog. These songs, again, are played in hot rotations on these stations for our children. So we got to get back control of our culture. I have nephews, and I hope that I'm going to try to send it to someone if they can check it out. You know, up in their 30s now, and late 20s and 30s, none of them married, none of them, not they're not gay. I don't even know if they're in a serious relationship. It's just, and I see it, not just nephews, but friends of mine whose sons and other young brothers I know. There's some who are, you know, are involved and married and having children, but there's so many of them who aren't. Who aren't. So where are we going? You know, what's happening with us? So these marriage numbers for Africans are pretty slim now. Not that we have to always deal with this European concept of marriage and how they handle marriage still, and even with us having children. I think those numbers are pretty much down too. Essence Magazine, real quick. I want to talk about Essence, because Essence right now, they're going in on this dude from Liberia that now owns Essence, and a sister that used to be the person in charge of diversity, equity, inclusion for Target, who's not, she's not with Target anymore because they got rid of that. But now I guess she's also helping to run Essence Magazine. I'm understanding she may be from Kenya or somewhere. But they're complaining about Essence Fest that took place last weekend in New Orleans, and going all in on it. A lot of these FDA people are going in on it because some Africans are owning it. Now, first of all, we all Africans, you know, so they're confused on that end. And second of all, because I'm hearing others talking to me about this too, I think Bob Mobutu Johnson is, I know he's an African, but he's an African born, raised here in the US. And we gave him the nickname Mobutu because Mobutu Sese Seko was one of them, was the one who helped set up the killing of Patrice Lumumba and took over power and became a billionaire. And Bob Johnson was one of the first billionaires. Well, look what he did to BET. So, and he's an African from the US. So when they get on these Africans from Africa doing crazy stuff, don't, no, we do crazy stuff all over the diaspora and here too. Don't just because that, because they don't, you know, we got issues all over. So Essence Fest, and I also got on there because I did a little research. This brother from Liberia, he didn't own Essence till 2018. So with Semotap, we had a campaign against the Essence Fest a couple of years ago because they had Megan Pete, or they called Megan the Male Horse, close out the Essence Fest, the last night of it, with a 57-minute set of nothing but straight porn, stripping twice, not once, but twice. She called sisters out of the audience to come on stage and just twerk. They just have a twerk fest. It's disgusting. It's also available on YouTube. You can look at it and watch it, which is crazy. And We got their sponsors from Essence Magazine because of that. So now they're mad at them now because of how things went with Essence last weekend. We already were aware of how their relationship with the vendors and all that had got soured because of the crazy stuff they were doing. But Essence used to be a magazine. Susan Taylor, classy, I mean, in the spirit. When I was in college, I had a subscription to Essence Magazine because I love Susan Taylor. Plus the sisters, well, you know, they would read it too. But yeah, I love what they would do with the music that they did. And but I look back and also looked at 2016. I remember Dej Loaf came to the Essence Fest. And you guys familiar with Dej Loaf, anybody? Dej Loaf is a rapper out of Michigan. Well, she was in college in Michigan about 16 and came up with a song called Try Me. Sister with a funky beat, funky song. I heard it a couple times, but I was rocking to it. Then I finally checked out the lyrics. I heard the uncut version. Try me. Let it end, try me. Try me. I'm going to get his whole MF and family. I hate ends. I'm a Nazi. This is a sister calling herself a Nazi. She going to shoot you and have your stomach bubbling, turned into spaghetti. Just in the Essence Fest, had her there before this. You know, before that dude. Took over from Liberia. So they've been ratchet. They've been out of control.
Well, the problem now.
Yes.
Let's see what the panel say about it. What do you want the panel to answer? What's the question for the panel?
So I got a couple more, one more thing. I'm almost done, if I can, before the panel gets in. But I just asked a question about that Dej Loaf. If I'm almost done, I just want to wrap it up. That's been kind of brutal from what I shared so far. Our future or where we're going, it looks pretty bad unless we get control back of our culture on that end. But I do want to share one other thing that we all been talking about that we all know. And I even mentioned it last week when I was at my reunion, how my 90-year-old auntie was talking about whether Captain Ibrahim Traoré and what was going on in Sahel States, that my mother, who was also with us, was also wanting to know, hey, what's going on with this guy Traoré? When I see what's happening in Niger, in Mali, in Burkina Faso, when I see Ghana maybe about to leave ECOWAS and join the Sahel States, and when I see this happening in Chad, and I see Africans all over the diaspora, in England, in the United States, in Jamaica, all over the world, embracing what's happening with these brothers and sisters who are taking back control of our resources, who are now allowing the European to continue to treat us as neo-colonies and print our money and control our resources and give us a pittance for our resources while they take them and go process. We're going to process our own resources. We're going to be concerned about overuse of it and the environmental things like that. So all of that. So that's something I think that's why I say ain't no stopping us on that. That's happening. And even though Trump today, and I think tomorrow also, he is meeting with the presidents of Liberia, surprisingly Guinea-Bissau, who else? I think there is the Chad, Gabon may be there, and a few other countries. I think there's five U.S. leaders that were one thing I said, they were happy about him getting nominated for a Nobel Prize. So that's happening, and that's unfortunate. So I think the things are looking up, even though most of our presentation was talking about this ratchet hip hop culture, but with what's happening in the Sahel States, what's happening in Africa, we here in the U.S. got to get serious. We got to start coming together a little bit more. There has been some momentum with us with April 30th and how we all stood in solidarity behind Ibrahim Traoré, you know, hands off of him. But I think this essence piece is a slight setback because, again, that FBA and that old xenophobic isolation crap is coming up a little bit. We got to bring it back down. We all African people. We got to understand that. And finally, before we go to the, see what other brothers and sisters have to say, I want to just share briefly about this environment, this ecology. We got to do something about what's happening on this planet. We got to, these greedy, like Professor Rob was talking about earlier with our brother Carl Nelson, these evil folks who just don't care about humanity, don't care about the environment, you know, even with all these little white children and some brothers too, and sisters who got killed during those floods, you know, they'll do whatever. They're still going to keep their global warming, pollution going. They don't care. Just like they don't care with the shootings that took place, these mass shootings, they don't care. But we have to care. It's our responsibility to care. And again, take care of what's happening with this environment. Start living liberation type lifestyles too. So I'm going to leave it at that. But I think if we start living these liberation lifestyles, if we share with people what's going on, the people are going to find out. I think even with all this negativity, I'm optimistic. We're optimistic that things are going to change and we're going to be okay. I think we're going in the right direction. So I think I like what New York is doing. I like our progressive leadership in Chicago. I think our brother Gary has a lot going for him. I just think, but it's up to the people. So it's up to the people. We just got to keep the people right. We got to keep the people educated. We got to expand this community education network.
All right, brother. I'm going to go to Ernest McBride, Jr. Ernest, I think Ernest fell asleep on us.
I think he froze.
Oh, he froze?
Yeah, it looked like it.
Okay, let's go to Brother Ahi. Brother Ahi?
Yes.
So what's your
brother,
response?
Always insightful, brother, when you come on and so passionate and progressive with your thoughts and your actions, backing your ideas up. You were talking about the brothers and sisters with all this ratchet music. At one time, if I'm not mistaken, the brothers and sisters have more power and more control over their music now. Is that correct?
more pseudo power over it. I mean, it's almost like the Carter G. Woodson type syndrome, where, you know, they've been unleashed now to go cut their own back door open, you know, to a large extent. But if they say something too progressive, they'll get marginalized. So they think they got control, but they got control to cut out that back door and keep on doing what the enemy wants us to do.
Okay, and that's exactly my point as far as taking control of our own destiny, which means controlling our arts, which are really play an important role in our community. And here we are with the young people. They have found a way to make more money, so-called get a little bit more control of their music, and they're still buying into this wretchedness. And as far as our sisters, yes, we have degraded our sisters, but they bought into it too. They bought into calling each other out of their names and thinking it's cute. The boss bitches and all the rest of them, you know, even got the white women imitating them. This whole culture thing, man. As I forestated before, until we get like the charter schools versus the public schools, and it is versus the public schools because all the resources that could have been going to our children and our children who can't be turned away at the other institutions have been taken and split up and diced with the charter school, and now we got to split with that. And it was a plan from the beginning to just downgrade the dumbing down of America. The dumbing down of America. That's the point I want to make. Brother, of course, we up against it, but we up for it too. Our young people, like those, that whenever we think that we are really up against it and the light is dim, something happens, like you show those young sisters today. A couple of weeks ago, we had a couple of young brothers that were so articulated, student athletes. So there's hope. And it's going to happen because, you know, the struggle has always been on the back of a few. But we've always pressed on. So, Quibina, where are we headed? Oh, in Africa. Mali. Brother Touré. All the French-speaking countries that got rid of the French and taking over their natural French countries that were colonized by France, and kicking them out, taking over their resources. And it's amazing that the France is even surviving with all the money and stuff they were looting out of Africa. They were talking about Burkina Faso and Mali and taking over their gold mines, and just the revenue is just mind-boggling. So nobody of the African diaspora is going to be free until Africa is free. And they're headed in the right direction of freeing their land. And I was there a couple of years ago, and that is what was on the agenda. I was in West Africa, and that is what they were talking about. The leaders in the legislature, every last one, we're talking about getting rid of the crooks and the criminals who are looting, stealing from the people, and taking back the land from the Europeans, and what's in the land controlling it. So when Africa is free, we'll all be free. And unfortunately, we're going to need an army to do that. But thank you for tonight's information. Very informative. And I'm behind you and your efforts, my brother. All right. Thank you.
Right on.
All right. Thank you, brother. All right. Ernest McBride.
Well, the only thing he was talking about those records. In the N-word, you know, I grew up, my mom didn't allow that from me, myself or all my brothers and sisters. I got three sisters and had two brothers, six of us. She didn't allow that, and my dad. So you don't use that word. And I can remember even in grammar school where I got in a fight with this white kid for calling me that. And the principal sent me home, you know, and my mom said, well, why are you fighting. I said, well, he called me out of the N-word. And my mother said, well, if you are, you know, the next time they call you that, just tell them your mother must have been one and let it go. I said, okay. So before the week was over, some kid called me that again. And I said, your mother must have been one. He said, so was yours. So I beat him up, you know.
anyway. So
what happened, I got home. And then one adult teacher told me, he said, you know, and I was saying, well, you know, that word just irritates me when somebody called me there. He said, you know, Ernie, if someone is stupid enough to call you that and they know it's a derogatory term and that you don't like it, so you should kick their ass, you know. Say you're doing the right thing. And he was an adult, you know. And then, and you know, and just like my kids, I didn't allow them to use that and those filthy records, you know, you don't bring that in the household. And even now they've taught their kids different. So the line is going pretty good so far, but I'm kind of in a dilemma because I joined the group. I'm Dr. Ra, might know Sharon Jackson, and it's the Historical Culture District group in Long Beach, where we're trying to preserve the culture in the Black district, because mostly it's about 70% Cambodians now, you know, because most of the Blacks have moved out. And then the dilemma I kind of got now with this owner, this guy named Kevin Anderson, who owns VIP Records. They're in the group, and they've got the group to promote this VIP sign, you know, historical sign, because VIP Records, and they sold underground records for a lot of years. You couldn't get that. Those rap records are only from them, right? And so they preserved the sign. And I was asking my brother Carl, I said, well, when did that come about? You know, I said, well, you remember when about 5 years ago we went before the city council because they were okaying the high school for our dad, you know, proving the high school. And then also, the teen center and the skateboard park and the little community center, and then wanted to rename all this McBride, right? So, and say so right after we came up and gave the presentation and the city council approved it, so he came up right after us for them to approve that VIP sign, you know, because you might have seen whenever they promote and rap and stuff, they have Snoop Dogg and Warren G and all the rappers up on the building with the sign. And so when they lost the contract on the building, because 7-Eleven, I think, took it over, so they had to move, so they had to take that sign down, and they took it down. And he said, you know how much the city, and somehow or another, they got the city to preserve it because they wanted to preserve the rap culture. I said, wait a minute, and I got a heartburn with connecting my dad, who was the civil rights culture in Long Beach, with this rap culture. Now I got a thing against that, but, you know, we're kind of right in the middle of it. He said, you know how much money the city has spent? So they spent over $1 million preserving this sign, and they're going. And so what they're trying to do now is right on the corner where they used to be located in Long Beach, the Pacific Coast Highway and Martin Luther King Avenue, where there's a little plot of land on the southwest corner, which was across the street from the old VIP Records. And right now, the Long Beach Unified School District owns that plot. So what they're trying to do, this Kevin Anderson, is get the city or either get funds to buy that lot and put up a rap museum on that corner. You know, so I told my brother, I said, wait a minute now, I got some heartburn against that. And then our historical culture district is kind of promoting that. So I said, oh man, I got to give that a lot of thought, because I don't have nothing against Snoop Dogg coming up through school, and like my daughter used to say, he graduated standing out in the hallway, got a degree for, because he didn't never go to class hardly. And when they went to little outings, he was always out on the playground rapping or in the hallway, you know. So I got nothing against that, but, you know, but to promote it is another story, you know. So I said, well, I got to think about that. So they haven't really brought it up yet, but they, that's what they plan on. I guess they told him, hey, if you can come up with the funds to buy that lot and then get the school district, the city has to approve it first, the city council, and then this historical culture district would have to approve it, which he is a member, and he's pushing for that, you know. So I said, man, I don't know about that. You know, I don't have nothing against somebody else trying to blow their own horn, but I'm not going to have my dad's name connected with Snoop Dogg and Warren G and the rest of that crowd, you know. So that's my
thing. Ernest, if you get a chance to check out the, if you get a chance to check out the lyrics to Regulate from Warren G, I mean, they talk about drill music in Chicago now, but Regulate is a song about shooting, killing people. You know, Snoop has had sisters on leashes walking around. I mean,
yeah, because I really haven't listened to any rap, you know, lyrics and stuff, because that's always been my failure ever since I was little. I bought my first record. Yeah, because I never really, you know, I'll buy a record and it might be, and play it, it might be 6 months before I, because I'm listening to the music all the time instead of listening to what they're saying. And then my daughter even got on me. That said, Dad, you know what they're saying? I said, well, no. And then she explained it to me, you know. So yeah, I've always had heartburns with that.
Yeah, I had stopped listening to that type of music.
Yeah.
After the Dog Pound came out with theirs.
Yeah.
It sound real good.
Yeah.
But the lyrics was real awful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a contradiction. So
yeah.
I had to stop playing it because I was basically about to go into teaching at the time. I'm like, I can't represent like this, but
yeah.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, Ernest. I'm gonna go to Brother Mashinda. Brother Mashinda, you on mute? Or are you just listening? All right. We'll go to Professor Ron.
All right. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Appreciate what's been said, Ron. Thank
you, Rick.
First of all, I want to say, man, Kwame, on you and the brothers and sisters that's tracking these lyrics and music that is derogatory to our people and toward the our self-image and divisive and sort of influencing negative behavior among our young people as far as guns, drugs, and sex, and even some we can call it a form of intergroup conflict with racist tendency of degrading our own self in the records, calling ourselves those names. So I want to commend y'all for doing that, brother. That's a lot of work. And it needs to be, we need to fight on all fronts, as Malcolm said. But put that picture back up that I gave you, Rashid. This is when we went to Gary, Indiana, from Long Beach. And they elected me to be a delegate, and along with Frank Berry, Jimmy Swan, Willie Martin, Dale Clinton, and this judge, he got in trouble. I forget his name. He's right there on the end in the suit. I can't remember a lot of people. There's a real estate brother in there, but the top picture is the delegates that went. But at that time, my name was Arthur Montgomery. It was an Alvin Ross. I didn't change my name to 1974. This was in 1972. The bottom picture, raise that up, Rashiki. That's Percy Anderson in the middle. These were alternate in case people couldn't come. I couldn't remember a lot of people there, but that's our delegation. We went to Gary, Indiana, and a whole new discussion needs to be talked about that because a lot of black politicians, not a lot, some black politicians didn't come. Julian Dixon, what's the one who ran for Atlanta mayor? Julian Bond didn't come. Shirley Chisholm, who was running for the Democratic nomination, refused to come. And the issues that we were raising there was reform of welfare, because at one time men couldn't be in the house with women, you know. And then that's when they started general relief, and then making D.C. a state that was on the agenda. It was that night they chose Barack Baraka.
Leroy Jones,
he was chair to develop a black agenda. But anyway, let me get back to this what y'all were talking. All in almost all urban areas, they have the problem that Kwamenon is talking about. They want to make a street for Eazy-E in Compton, but some of them, you know, make contributions. Like Dr. Dre is donating $10 million to build up for performing arts at the new high school in Compton. Kendrick Lamar just bought the McDonald's that his mother worked at in Compton to operate while he was going to school. So he went and bought it for $2 million. There have been some other rappers, because see, rapping had stages. At one time it was conscious rap, you know, they had conscious rap. And there was entertainment rap, like the first rap, just a bunch of ribbing around, good music and dancing, and it sampled. But I taught a class called Blacks in the Mass Media. And just as Kwamenon was saying, when we was coming up listening to music, you couldn't cuss on record. You couldn't, they wouldn't even play them. They had a record called Giggling, when she walked by my pole, penis froze. But they used the word that, and that, man, that was an outcry in the community about that, man. And when you listen to Red Fox or Rudy Ray Moore or even that Dick Gregory at that time, you had to do it secretly. But now these kids got earphones.
Yeah.
And parents don't even know what they listen to. Right. You understand? It's the same. But now, what you have to do is train the kids not to like it and not to emulate it. You understand? Just like we were taught, like the Muslims teach their people not to eat pork, even though there's wiener schnitzels everywhere and there's hot dogs and links and things. They cannot eat pork. You have to, it's what Kwamenon is fighting. Is in the environment to distract people and to get people in decadent behavior. And it turned out not only kids and youth, it turned out adults. Well, so cold, you can go to any school and go to and watch the people drive up to pick up their kids, Latinos, whites, or whatever. They're playing these records. They're playing the same records he's talking about. They don't even talk to their kids. They're on the phone, you got the music blasting. And like he said, some of the women are doing it. Single mother picking up their kids, playing these records in front of their kids. I mean, you know, so my challenge is, you know, it's a struggle. We have We said in 1966, Dr. Karenga said in 1966, the key crisis in Black life is a cultural crisis, a crisis of views and values. And so many of our people are just send our kids to school. And there were some parents that, like Mr. McBride, and taught values and ethics to their children. But there, a lot of them didn't, because they were working. At one time, men could take care of family by themselves. But then, to move up, the women start working. And the kids were their own babysitters. I mean, if you were 8 or 9 years old, you had to know how to clean the house, sew, wash, all that. And they, I mean, all of those type of things. He became out this year. But getting back to my point, culture, a cult, is who's practicing the culture. The cult is what the culture is about. What happens is, if we're going to say we need to recapture and win the hearts and minds of our people again, it's going to be very challenging. Unless you do it at birth, unless you really have a loving relationship with your children and with the young people in the neighborhood, because this system pays people. Most of our parents and most of us work for white folks, as Hakeem Olajide pointed out in his book, Enemy Class of the Race. 90% of our people get their money from white folks, even if you're working for public schools and public police and all that, you get your check. So, you have to understand that, and not only that, the euphoria that they give them with regard to entertainment, with regard to sweets and sugar and salt, that's a drug, it's a challenge. But you have to have a strategy to get around it. And this is why teaching our kids nutrition at home, you understand, will help. And especially teaching them the vices and the subliminal seduction and of this type of music. You have people listening, grown men listening to Two Live Crew, going around high school picking up kids. You understand? It's a major struggle, but we have to continue to struggle. Which way we go? Like I told Roger T before we came up, ain't no other way but up. And we have to pull ourselves up. You understand? With what? With a cult, with the Black music is not just some Black person singing. Black music is not that. It's the ritualization of Blackness or Africanness. Meaning that, like Christian music just ritualized Jesus. I call on Jesus that. Then you can't go in and play the song that Kwamenon's talking about in church. It's all about Jesus and Christianity. Well, our music at one time was about Black people, about the differences. We used to have freedom songs, Sweet Honey in the Rock, and a lot of groups sung freedom songs. And then this system pays so much money to promote people like Snoop on top of VIP records, as Ernest was saying, doing the Crip Walk. And they make him a multimillionaire. That influences the young people. At one time, we just thought that entertainment and sports is our only way out. Group singing, doo-wop groups, Motown music. It don't go that way no more. You got kids that can remember a rap song, but can't remember the ABCs. You understand? That's sad. And I'm just saying that the struggle to win the hearts and minds of our people begin with us, but we have to cut out our contradictions. You understand? And my son was telling me the other day with his son that he's teaching his son to say. But at the same time, my son don't say. I said, son, if you don't tell him to say, you got to say, and show him an example that you can't be buying all these trinkets for him and all this funny stuff. You understand? Let them know that you're trying to build a wealth so that you may want to buy some other property. So you save your money. You may want to do some other thing, investment, to save your money. But that type of teaching, we don't get. So the key struggle, as we came up with two philosophies, as I quit. One is Operation Unity. Unity with diversity. That means we don't have to all think alike. And we don't have to all act alike. You may be a Muslim Christian, but you may even be a Black Israelite, or you may be a Buddhist, or you just may be a atheist or agnostic. But what do we agree on? What do we agree on as Black people? Let's work on that. Not get into arguments about who God is, the most God and all that. You know, all those type of things. Even sexual behavior. Hey, we ain't bedroom watchers. We're trying to build a Black movement. Rebuilding the Black movement is the key. In the 60s, we made a lot of progress. In 1970, there were no more than 33 Black elected officials. And when we started the Black movement, we got up to what? 800, 900. We only got about maybe 8,000 total Black elected officials today. But there's over 800,000 elected officials in the country. You understand? I mean, I want you to see how crazy this is. And so even the Black caucus, boy, what, 39 out of 400? 3 out of 100? You understand? They give you symbolism that you're making progress and a part of the institution that you struggled for. But they try to keep it that way. But anyway, the struggle is a continuous struggle. Winning the hearts and minds of our people with love, appreciation. As I told Carl Nelson the other day, I said, the thing I learned about the Coweta philosophy is that I used to thought just not liking white people with Black and not hanging out with white people, not dating white girls and all that. No, it's loving our people, having patience, having understanding. Go where they are and bring them to where you are. It's best to lose the point rather than lose a person. You understand? And so we practice those things. We build Black United Front. I was chair of the LA Black United Front organizing committee. Took us a year and a half just to write a constitution because of the diversity of thought. Some brothers want to know, can white people be in it? In the Black United Front, they want to know. And do we support oppressed white people? You'd be surprised where the minds of the people are. You understand? And so you have to be battlefield tested in the struggle. Most historians are not battlefield tested. They just write our history. You don't see them in demonstrations. You don't see them criticizing anything except for in their book. But anyway, the point is that what Kwamenon is doing is attacking a counterintelligence program. Hip hop is being promoted to keep our people from thinking Black consciousness. You understand? They got movies about hip hop and love, love and hip hop or something that they play in the movie. I mean, the girls got blue hair. They got, all of them got big butts and breasts. You understand? Lipstick so red, look like a red light, you know, going down the street. You understand? I mean, it's crazy. Fingernails so long they can't wipe their butt. You understand? I mean, it's crazy. And these young people have been exposed to it. But we have to teach them that that's not us. That is not us. We are the ones that introduce civilization and moral ethics to the world. That all you have to do is read the hieroglyphics, read our old sacred texts, and read our value systems that we had to build the civilization in ancient Egypt, in Southern Africa, and all over Ethiopia. All you have to do is read it. The Dogon Star, all of that. The phenomenon of us as a people. But as Ivan Van Sertman said, we have forgotten more than most of these kids will ever learn. If we don't get control of education in the home and in the community, not just getting them together, like everybody talking about AI. This white man weaponized everything. And what Kwame Nandem is fighting is his weapon. Who make these rappers own Grammy Awards and stuff like that? Who put Lil Wayne up there and say he's our number one music man? I don't listen to rap music. I do not. I don't even listen to Beyonce. I don't even watch Oprah. You understand? I just can't deal with it because of the contradictions. And that's not us. You understand? That's them promoting them. You understand? And it's always about vulgar capitalism. Vulgar capitalism. Teaching them to be jealous and envious and greed, that's what they teach. Want things, and the only cure is to get them by any means necessary. And you gotta get that mentality out. And so that's the struggle. And that's why when you have groups like Kwame Nandem, when you say, where we going, we got people that out there struggling. It's a struggle. When they go to these arenas and try to expose Steph Curry, you know, I mean, some of the athletes, you know, there's a few of them that have black consciousness, Spencer Haywood, and a few that I know, they read Dr. Ben and they practice education. But Clyde Frazier, who married a white girl that was a groupie in New York, he got mad at Spencer Haywood because Spencer Haywood said, man, you know, you can't. Man, white girl, you know, everybody had been inside her, but they kicked him off the team. You understand? I mean, look at this boy that just sat down on his knee in San Francisco football. Just did that. And know what they did to the Olympians who stood their fists up. You know, they got death threats. Now white folks is raising their fists. Every time they win something, they raise their fist. You understand? But anyway, the struggle is a continuous struggle. And we got to support black groups. They don't have the money. They even buy signs sometimes. We give all money to churches, which is, that's your business. But save some for the movement. It got to be. But Malcolm said this as I conclude, that we're in position to have a nonviolent revolution. All we have to do is change our behavior. Change our behavior. And people just stop smoking cigarettes. That killed the cigarette. You don't even have to boycott, just stop smoking. And people stop drinking. It took us a long time for us brothers in the street to realize that drug was a weapon. We use it as supplemental income, and we use it for sexual reasons. You understand? And we got caught up in it. We got caught up in the drug culture. Whereas that was more important to us, whereas the next weed or cocaine or crack or sherm was more important than our people, our families, and even our lives. And so we have to do a different type of education. So the strategy is education, mobilization, organization, confrontation, and transformation. That's what we teach. You understand? Education, you got to educate the people, but you can't argue with them and fuss them. You got to know where they are. And you teach them by example, too. You understand? So it's a good struggle. But anyway, come now again, I commend you. And you got to love the struggle. You love the struggle. Many of us practice this when we get up in the morning. It's a good day to get up and struggle. It's a good day to struggle. You understand? Because that's the only way. Every progress we had was through struggle. May it be nonviolent, may it be prayer, may it be whatever, and may it be confrontation, violence, through revolts. But we all, that's why we are where we are today. White folks didn't free us. No belief, no emancipation, or proclamation, or emancipation, or no 14th or 15th Amendment. We freed ourselves. And what is the purpose of our freedom? So that we can be ourselves, the true African people. That's all I'm saying.
I appreciate it, Professor Roth. That's something. Brother Quavenot, what you want to leave us with?
I mean, Professor Roth said we need to go where the people are and bring them back with us. I think that's...
And bring them to, and bring them and to bring you. And where you are. Okay. Yeah, go where they are to bring them to where you are.
Okay, I like that. Like sometimes you, yeah, like some people say, like, go to get to that level. I'm like, oh, we got to raise the people up. So I like that. I think it was a good piece. I remember last week when we talked briefly about Medgar Evers and Patrice Lumumba and their struggle. It was the anniversary, 100th anniversary of their birth. And I forgot one person. I couldn't think about him. So it was Robert Williams, Negroes with Guns. He was also born in 1925.
Yeah.
And we had
mentioned. Then didn't Brother Mashinda mention somebody else too?
It was France Fanon. France Fanon, Malcolm, Medgar, Lumumba, and Robert Williams. I know were born in 25. And Williams is the one I mentioned, I forgot last week, but when he's, the struggle, this is a struggle, but it's one worth fighting. Again, it's one that we're going to win. It's a matter of time. And I just think that we just, like you said, we need to educate and let the people know what's going on. Like when we do the survey, most of the people, when we give them the survey, I mentioned that we get like the same answers, but we also, what else we get from them is like, wow, I didn't think of that. And I didn't realize, I never thought that, yeah, when I think about these percentages. So the youth, and again, most of the time we ask the youth, and, you know, they know what it is. We just gotta educate them and let them know we can win. We can win these fights. We mentioned the smoking thing. We're down to 14% of people in the U.S. are now smoking cigarettes. You all know, everybody smokes cigarettes. So things can change. We can win that. I know we got to struggle with vaping now, but not too many people smoking cigarettes like they used to here in the U.S. So again, bro, I appreciate you, man. And, you know, I just appreciate this network and being able to share. And, you know, there's a lot of things happening. Again, we finished this first quarter of this century. We're in right now in the midst of the second quarter. And we just got to make some positive changes. And we will.
That's right.
Excuse me, Brother Corbina. You seem to be very versed with the revolutionaries and activists in Mississippi. What about a shout out to Fannie Lou Hamer?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Fannie Lou Hamer. Right there with Malcolm. I like one of those, when I was reading, I think Malcolm X speaks. They were in the Audubon. I think she spoke with him. And yeah, you know, what she went through, getting beat down by them knuckleheads in the Mississippi jails, you know, at the Democratic Convention. We love us some Fannie Lou Hamer and some Ella Baker. And that Mississippi struggle. Negroes, no, we will shoot back. I know you guys have, brother, I can yell Umoja on before, right? From yes. LA. But we will shoot back, man. It's an excellent book. It woke me up to, like, I thought people in Mississippi were like, just wasn't doing nothing, was chilling. I said, why you think like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uncle Geronimo told me about after the shooting at Jackson State. She said, oh no, that, she said, they dealt with that. It was not, that didn't go on, that did not go without some recompense. when they shot those students at Jackson State. He would tell me about that. He wouldn't get in detail, but he would say, no, we dealt with that. So, they wouldn't play in Mississippi. We will shoot back.
All right. Appreciate you, brother. Brother Kwabena, as always, thanks for coming. And until we do this again, Professor Ra, who do we have next week?
We have Cliff.
Cliff Pruitt.
And you want to talk again about reparations.
Reparation. Okay.
That's my hooping buddy right there. Grew up with Cliff.
Cliff Pruitt. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So next Wednesday, we have Lenore Strickland. And she's going to talk about mental health versus mental illness, understanding the difference. So she's going to talk about that. She's in Texas, and she works as I can't think of her title, but we'll have it for you on Wednesday. She's in the psychology field. So I appreciate everybody coming out this evening.
If anybody that they think have a message, contact us and we'll see what they're talking about. They can come and make a presentation. You understand? Yeah.
Okay. Professor Ross said, we having the community come out and they could do a presentation on what they know. So thanks a lot, everybody. Each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Everybody continue to have a great day.